Speaking the truth to the state capitol, this is Drive Time Lincoln with the commander, Jack Rickens, on the voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, here we go. Monday, January 30th, 13 degrees outside, but feels like three. Wind is 7 miles an hour out of the north, so it's a little bit of a chilly one, but I will say it's still a nice winter day in Nebraska, without a doubt. I'm your host, Jack Riggins, always restoring American values and trying to bring common sense to the capital city. Mark Vail is producing the show. Got a nice little salute there. Johnny Cadillac is somewhere in the Caribbean, I believe, probably in the Atlantic heading south at this point, was my understanding. So he's having a nice vacation right now. And we're just kicking off a new week. We've got some old guests and we've got a new guest in studio today. We've got Matt and Mike from Branch Oak Observatory.
Jack.
They are here, and while we don't have one specific event we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about comets, we're going to be talking about the whole show lineup, and we've got Phoebe from Chariots for Hope, who, welcome Phoebe.
Hi, thank you.
Who, Matt is always generous in connecting this show, Drive Time Lincoln, with new guests and constantly educating me on things going in the community. So you're kind of doing my job for me, Matt.
Well, you know, I think, I'm your wingman.
There you go. Matt, first of all, let's real quick, and maybe Michael needs to talk because I want to hear about the comet, want to come back to the comet, and I also want to talk about Chariots for Hope, which Phoebe will do, and educate us all on what that is, because right now what I know it is it's a really cool thing. It's obviously Chariots for Hope, might have something to do with some kind of wheels.
There are wheels involved.
Yes, and Jordan Larson is literally signed on their t-shirts, which is pretty cool. So comets first. Mike, a new comet, you mentioned it to me, I'm not going to run it down, but I heard 2022, which means that thing was just found in 2022.
That's right.
What do we got going?
People have been calling it the quote-unquote green comet because of its color. Some people have been calling it the Neanderthal comet because of the last time it's been around. Its actual name is C/2022E3ZTF, which, you know, people wonder, why do you put all these numbers on there? Actually, it means some very specific things. You caught the first one. Obviously, 2022 is the date that it was discovered. The E is the first half of March. It was actually March 20th, but the E is telling us is the first half of March. For instance, A is the first half of January. B is the second half of January.
Okay.
That's just how it works.
Okay.
The 3 just means that it was the third comet discovered in that particular two-week time period.
Wow.
The ZTF is for a transient facility called the Zwicky Transient Facility in Mount Palomar Observatory. And they use this instrument to discover this particular comet. It's actually made to look for transient phenomena like supernova explosions and gamma ray bursts, but also moving things like asteroids and comets.
Am I wrong to say Palomar in Southern California?
Yeah,
that observatory, right?
Yep. Okay. It's just one of the instruments there.
Okay, one of the instruments.
And it's one of the surveys that they're doing.
Okay.
And
okay.
So we're constantly looking because the sky's always changing. The universe is evolving, it's changing. And that's why we're always looking again and again and again, looking for these changes. And that's what it did. Discovered, saw a little change. And that little change was this particular comet.
So if I try to break that down, a lot of great information there. I'll definitely remember the 2022. I didn't think we kept discovering comets.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll remember that. But you said Neanderthal, which means this thing does not come around often.
It doesn't come around very often. This is what's called a long-period comet. These long-period comets originate in the Oort cloud, which is a spherical cloud of icy material that is extraordinarily far away. I mean, we're talking the very outskirts of the solar system. It begins around a little bit outside of what's called the Kuiper Belt, and then it goes all the way to, believe it or not, about halfway to the nearest star to us. Mm. So this is a very large body, and these things just are in this very tenuous orbit, and they'll just pop out of this and take a new orbit around the sun. That's why we have new comets all the time.
So will we be able to see it? Will people be able to see it at a specific date window?
You've heard a great deal in the press lately. This, as it's getting closer to the Earth, it was at its closest to the sun, perihelion, earlier in January. It will be at its closest to the Earth on February 1st. It's already broken sixth magnitude. The magnitude system is a little wonky, but sixth magnitude is about the limit of human vision. It's at about 5.3, which means that, yes, it is within naked eye vision. However, it's a very diffuse magnitude. So it would you would need to have extraordinarily dark skies, really good eyes, to be able to see it with the unaided eye. Right now, at its brightest, you'll still probably need a pair of binoculars or a small telescope. And, of course, you need to know exactly where to look. And that's really the great thing about it, is that right now, it's in a relatively easy location and at a good hour. You don't have to get up at 3 a.m. You can go on out about 8:30, 9:30 tonight. We might actually have some clear nights here, which is really exciting. Take a look towards the north. Look for the Big Dipper. Everybody is seeing the Big Dipper. Look for the Big Dipper. It's going to be standing on end with its handle kind of pointing towards the ground and the cup near the top.
Okay.
Astronomers, you've probably heard them say the two stars in the top of the cup are the pointer stars because they point to the North Star.
To the North Star.
If you look at the pointer stars and move along about two-thirds of the way to the North Star, so not all the way, then stop and then slowly pan upwards. With your binoculars, look for this kind of a spherical haze. And that's it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a challenge, particularly because that darn moon is out.
Okay.
A bright moon competing with this.
All right, folks. I always try to break things down to the simple. We're going to find the Neanderthal comet. I call it the green comet. We're going to go to the Big Dipper, which when you see it, you should have the essentially pan up into the sky, and the two pointer stars, which if you take those end, you go to the North Star. Two-thirds of the way from there, look straight up, and we're looking for a spherical thing. Pretty good?
That's it.
Pretty good.
Now, keep in mind, it's going to be extraordinarily faint. It will look like maybe a smudge on your lens, on your binoculars. I mean, it's not going to be an extraordinarily bright thing, and you'll probably have a very difficult time seeing this green color that people have been talking about.
But folks, it's worth the effort. Why? Think about it. Our forefathers literally navigated ships by the stars. People walked across continents by the stars. So, small little effort. Big Dipper, two-pointer stars up at the top, which is the pan part, pointing towards the North Star, two-thirds of the way, look straight up.
There you go.
There you go. Matt, that was pretty good for...
That's pretty good,
Jack. Not at all.
Just an average guy, huh?
That's an average guy.
I'll tell you what. We're talking about, Kuiper Belt... Way out there, Mike, you said some other things, and it made me think, well, it's perfect to talk about Chariots for Hope, because it's almost like, yeah, chariots. I mean, things being thrown at the earth, horses running, all kinds of stuff, and you brought a guest, Phoebe, in from Chariots for Hope.
Yes.
Tell me how you guys met and where you said, you know what, we got to get you on DTL.
So our paths crossed here last year, kind of beginning latter part of summer. One of our coworkers, William Lewis, was diagnosed with rapid onset ALS. And he went from an able-bodied man to somebody who was confined to a wheelchair and no good way to get around. And so I remember seeing an article hearing about Chariots, and I thought, well, what the heck, I'll just reach out. And originally I started talking with Jason, and then he then made the connection with me and Phoebe, and I pled my case, and she said, absolutely, we can work on it. I said, we have a tight timeline because we just don't know how long, unfortunately, he's going to live.
Mm-hmm.
And in a very short period of time, matter of 2-3 weeks, they were able to find a vehicle, one that was handicapped accessible, and be able to get it all together, and then being able to present it. And the unveiling was a little bit unique in the fact that there was some technical issues, but we were able to get that overcome, and we were actually able to get it into their possession. And the unfortunate thing about the disease is that it progressed to the point where William did wind up losing his life. But because of what the effort that they went through in order to help out William and his family just spoke volumes to me. I mean, sure. These folks literally moved mountains, and I've done some research on them and looked back upon the people that they help, and it's incredible. And Phoebe, right here, is the key to why a lot of these families are getting the help that they need. Because you and I, you know, when you don't have reliable transportation, life becomes challenging, right? But when life throws a curveball to some folks, it's kind of like the straw that breaks the camel's back. And Phoebe comes in, helps to bring these people up and put them into a reliable vehicle that they can now begin to recoup their life.
Wow, Phoebe, what a great intro. Folks, chariotsforhope.org is where you can go and find their website and what they do. I'll tell you right now, their tagline is it's beyond the cars, beyond cars. So, you know, we're talking wheels. We're talking helping people out. Phoebe, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you, Matt, for that intro.
You're welcome.
Well, tell my audience, tell us kind of the history for Chariots for Hope and kind of where you guys got started and what the kind of the big picture mission is.
Yeah, of course. Well, Chariots for Hope started in 2014, and it was by Jason and Michelle Hurt, the co-founders. And originally, they were just heartbroken over single moms and people that couldn't drive to the grocery store, couldn't drive to their doctor, just all the things that we take for granted. You know, people taking buses with seven kids, things like that. And they said, you know, we want to help people in this situation. So they started it off, like I said, 2014. So it's been around, and now it's been in the Lincoln market for 3 years.
So did it start in Omaha?
It did start in Omaha, okay. Yes.
So it started in Omaha and really just helping everyday people with, you know, what I call daily living activities where there's no reason that there can't be a way to help folks out. And then that vision started growing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first year that they existed, they gave cars to 14 people. Well, now it's grown to about 77.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so Lincoln says, yes. Wow, maybe we could use that down here.
Right, absolutely. And come to find, after 2.5 years of doing this, come to find there are tons of people that need to get into cars in this very community.
You know, we'll say it multiple times on this show, but how do people reach out? What's the first step if there are people in need that hear this and say, geez, that might be something that could help us out?
Right. Well, that is a great question. And back to Matt, people like him, that's the reason that we can exist. Stories that just wreck you and break your heart, come to us. Come tell us your story. That is what is our heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So that, and we have about 100+ community partners that are approved. And so they send people our way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So really it's chariotsforhope.org. Folks, you know, what it sounds like is, you know, if you're having a challenge, if you're having issues with transportation, it's an organization to come and let them know what's going on with you. And it sounds like, I mean, did you say over 100 community partners?
Yes.
So being able to then harness that as well as your in-house stuff, you have the ability then to help folks out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's pretty powerful. It never ceases to amaze me in Nebraska, you know, whether it be Omaha or Lincoln or somewhere out west, we'll say it. I shouldn't say that, but everybody out west says, we're out west. There's Lincoln and then there's Omaha. And so now I'm stuck in thinking about Nebraska that way instead of just one big family. But the different programs and the different ways people go about helping others, and it's pretty amazing, no doubt about it. Yeah, Matt, I can only imagine that, you know, with ALS and people that have gone through that, and as it tends to be a deteriorating disease, is my understanding.
Yep.
That, you know, getting the support when you need it, on the timeline, the right type, can really make a difference, not only to the individual, but the people around the individual that's suffering.
Yes. And, you know, the thing about with Chariots was that they didn't say no. They said, let's see what we can do. It was an unusual ask, because I think Jason said they've only done two or three other, you know, true handicapped accessible vehicles. They just don't come available that often. And brand new. I mean, they're $40,000, $50,000 or more. And, you know, so to find one that that was used, as it were, and then being able to get a hold of it, and then they go through it top to bottom. That thing, when the person takes possession of it, it's like a brand new vehicle. And what was incredible about it was the time frame was super tight, and they I was kept up to date as far as what was happening. The hardest part was to not tell the family that, hey, we got a vehicle, right? Mm. Because part of the reveal is the surprise, right? We kind of bring, they're brought to a location under false pretenses, but for the right reasons.
Sure, sure.
Right? And then to be able to have a vehicle drive in and then say, hey, look, this is yours.
Well, the morale boost, just that itself is huge for people when they're struggling. So I can understand that completely. And it would be the other thing, it would be difficult if, God forbid, right, you gave somebody false hope. But I mean, by holding on to it and knowing this is coming and then doing a reveal, I mean, we've all seen those type of things or maybe even been part of it. And it's just so heartwarming, and the morale to the people involved. That's a very good thing. What a neat model you guys have.
Oh, thank you.
You know, well, let's see. We've got Phoebe, we've got Matt, we've got Mike on the whole show. So I'm going to ask more as we get in the second segment, maybe some stories, Phoebe, maybe how you got involved, what your passion is behind it, and some more testimonials, so to speak, so that people will know what's out there for Chariots for Hope. And Branch Oak Observatory, we've got a couple of minutes. When's the first big program this year?
Well, we have a collaborative event with the Prairie Astronomy Club coming up on the 10th. And this is a program that they're doing just out at Branch Oak Observatory. And then afterwards, we'll just have a little observing session as well. And the name of their program is How to Use Your Telescope. And it's exactly what it sounds like. So during this time, a number of people, maybe during the holidays, maybe for a birthday, maybe something that just happened a month ago or something that happened years ago, they have a telescope, maybe in their living room or gathering dust in a closet. Here is your opportunity to learn how to use that telescope once and for all. These folks know what they're talking about, and they'll put on a fantastic program and show you on your telescope where everything goes, how everything works. So it's a wonderful program. Again, that's February 10th. Our first official program out at Branch Oak is going to be in March. So we have a little bit of time. That's March 11th, and that's called the Hunting Orion Star Party. Orion the Hunter is, of course, a fantastic winter constellation. It's one of the absolute best constellations in the sky, and it has within it the Great Orion Nebula, which is one of the great objects to see. And we don't want people to miss out on the Great Orion Nebula and Orion. So what we're doing is we're inviting people out to see Orion before it heads down below the horizon.
Well, the one thing I noticed is you guys are getting smart, I think, with your timeline to go March, because it's okay to get late in the season, but you were getting some pretty cold days last year.
Yeah.
So you know, a March start date isn't bad, and I think it's pretty cool that you're doing literally a 101 on telescopes, because now that you guys, Branch Oak Observatory, are regulars on the show, you don't know how many people text me, DM me their telescope. And then there's people that didn't know they had a telescope and it was passed down.
Sure. Right?
And they're like, I've got one. And so there you go, folks. You can go out to Branch Oak Observatory, put on by Prairie.
That's the Prairie Astronomy Club.
Okay, the Prairie Astronomy Club. And literally, they're going to do a, you know, which end is which, where the gizmos go, how to dial it in, and you'll be set, you know. And I know a lot of you have reached out and shown me all kinds, from things bought this Christmas back to things that were, geez, maybe built in the 50s or 60s. But that'd be a fun night. All right, we'll come on back with Chariots for Hope and Branch Oak Observatory on 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, we're back. I think my mic was quite loud there. Maybe not, though. Maybe I was just screaming in the microphone because I'm excited for Chariots for Hope and Branch Oak Observatory being in. That's probably it. I'll tell you what, Mark Vail is producing, and I Mark, you get a lot of hand gestures and head nods and different things than I get from Johnny Cadillac. So we're gonna have to work on our team game here, because I'm like, oh, did I do something wrong?
Engineers walking around here.
Yeah, we do have engineers walking around, and we got microphones all over, and he doesn't have a mic right now, but it's been an interesting show, at least if we had a video camera in here. It's 12 degrees, feels like two. We definitely got the Drive Time Lincoln bump. We always get a degree one way or the other when we come in the show. And the wind's still out of the north, 6 miles an hour. We'll have a good second segment. We're going to get more testimonials and more background of why Phoebe got involved for Chariots for Hope. We'll talk more about the Stars with Matt and Mike, and we'll just go from there. Pretty easy Monday. Enjoying it, getting educated on a new comet that's out there, and the ability for all of you to go learn how to put your telescope together as well. 1400-993-KLIN.
Drive Time Lincoln with the Commander, Jack Riggins, on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, second segment here on Monday, January 30th. I'm still Jack Riggins. I'm still the host of Drive Time Lincoln. I made it through the first segment. Mark Vail's producing. I want to give a shout-out to Human Elementary. I did late last week. I don't think everybody heard it, but they got a Blue Ribbon Award, which means they were nationally recognized as a Blue Ribbon school by the United States Department of Education. And I think any time that you see our schools getting an award, especially a national award, it's a good thing. There's a lot of people that have different thoughts on schools right now, but one thing we know is that the educators are doing their very best, and all the people that, you know, teach our kids, and, you know, it's not without different policies everybody's been arguing about lately, but this is a good story. You know, Human Elementary School gets a Blue Ribbon Award, nationally recognized. So congrats to everybody there. And, you know, just keep on keeping on, because I've said before, kids and young people are the future of not just this country, but the world. So it's good to invest in them. We've got Branch Oak Observatory, which itself is another piece of the education process, if you will. Yeah. Well, you know, just like a sport, I always say, well, a sport's just an extension of education. You know, an observatory run by Mike and Matt and the whole team out there, volunteers, is another piece of education that you can learn about the stars and the galaxy and the universe. And so they're in doing the same thing. And we've got Phoebe in from Chariots for Hope. Phoebe, again, welcome. Did you survive the first segment?
Barely. I'm hanging on. I'm doing it.
Tell me how you got started, or where your passion comes from for being, I think, the Lincoln coordinator of Chariots for Hope.
Yeah, they've changed me. I'm the director of development at this time, but I've seen everything from programs to area coordinating and on. So now I'm able to share that and hope people can attach to our mission.
Was there any kind of specific incident, or have you always been kind of a trying to find gaps and help people, or giving, if you will, to say, hey, there's something that I or we could do? I mean, how did you get involved?
Yeah, my passion is helping people. So it all started at Lutheran Family Services. I was hired on as a recovery support specialist.
Okay.
So through shared lived experiences, I was able to facilitate classes and see people one-on-one that had challenges with maybe drugs, alcohol, substances.
Oh, this show is not immune to the addiction. I always tell people that yours truly has survived it, and it can be beat. You just have to get good friends around you to help guide you, and it's something that nobody should be afraid of. And oftentimes, once people are able to get through that, we find that they're great people, industrious, and so I very much champion any programs that help people in self-betterment, which is trying to, you know, recover from addiction.
That is awesome. So I myself, you know, I've seen the stigma around addiction, and I was going through some things at the time, and instead of having to hide from that or have shame from that, I actually got pursued, somebody saying, hey, I heard some things that happened with you, and they weren't shaming me. They were saying, let's use that to help other people.
Awesome.
So I got in at Lutheran Family, and there was a therapist that was leaving, and an application landed on my desk, and it was a client that wanted to sign up with Chariots for Hope.
Oh, cool.
I said, who the heck's Chariots for Hope? Who is this? And so at the time, it was a paper application. You know, we've progressed since then.
Yeah.
Thank God. But I was, you know, I dug into it and I saw this was a program that could help her get into a vehicle. I thought, that's cool. They're in Omaha. I don't need to ask questions. Well, four referrals later and getting people into cars, COVID season hit. So we were booted out of the office. We were on telehealth.
Okay.
8 hours a day of Zoom. And I was just feeling kind of a certain way, you know,
well,
and I thought, you know, change would be good. And so I just, I got pursued by Chariots and they said, hey, what are you doing?
Awesome.
I'm on my computer and the rest is history. So,
wow.
Yes.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, in a way you're doing outreach therapy, being a friend and you're understanding the needs of people, in that case, addiction. And then you see the needs of people that may need wheels. You know, and as your tagline for Chariots for Hope is, you know, beyond the wheels. And that's true. You know, that's the giving, if you will, of the vehicle is just the mechanism of which to help. And that's pretty cool. Again, folks, if you want to check them out, they're at chariotsforhope.org. Are you guys on social media? Is there anything else people need to know? Phone numbers or just go to the website?
Yeah, thank you so much. And Jack, I wanted to make sure that I elaborate that it's Chariots number four, Hope.
Yeah.
.org. So yeah, we're all about the socials. Like us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're also on Twitter. You know, obviously we're pretty cool here. We're on TikTok.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. We're trying to expand our feelers with social media. So we like to share the stories.
Well, you're a champion because I always screw something up every show and you already caught it. I mean, if that's all I screw up, it is Chariots, the number four, Hope. .org and good catch there. I do have to ask you before I go back to the Branch Observatory fellas. Jordan Larson, obviously she is literally on your logo on your shirt signed.
Yeah.
She must be a supporter.
She is a supporter. You know, it's crazy. I never would have thought, but she heard about our mission and she has been to events of ours and just graciously given her time, signed her name, talked to people. And it's because she knows our mission.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what we're doing and she has given her name to our shirt.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It is cool. And I mean, folks, again, when you have probably the most prolific volleyball player in Nebraska history, and frankly, you know, right up there in the nation, you know, an Olympian with such a long career. That's pretty cool. And that's neat to know that she supports your mission without a doubt. It's so cool. It blew me away when I saw it on the t-shirt. I was like, I can't take this t-shirt. It's signed by Jordan Larson. She's like, no, she actually gives us her signature. And that's cool. Branched up.
Yes.
Matt or Mike, I need to ask you because last time Christmas, it seems like I haven't seen you, you know, well before Christmas, but you had some initiatives with LPS going on.
So we started our fundraising project for our new multipurpose center.
Okay.
And the genesis of this was to provide an expanded space in which students from the local school district can come out and get a transformational educational experience. The problem is our facilities were a little bit small as far as our classroom size, didn't have permanent restrooms, had porta potties, and so the whole idea was to just build a structure that gives us that opportunity. So we have indoor restrooms and we have this amazing open classroom here that will allow us to conform that into any configuration that we want to make sure that the educational experience is enhanced the best. Lincoln Public Schools, Dr. Paul Gossman's come out three times, and when we had our first fundraising event, he gave his stamp of approval. So we are working with them, and we'll be working with their curriculum directors on how we can best enhance what they're already being taught at Lincoln Public Schools.
You know, when I was young, and I'm sure most of us in this room, the coolest thing you could find was a planetarium. That, you know, these days I can't imagine 3D lasers, all kinds of stuff, but it was like the projector up on the wall. But I'll tell you what, that I would imagine that almost every child that gets a chance to just back in the day go to a planetarium was amazed and remembers it. and to be able to get access not only for just families coming out to Branch Oak Observatory, but working with LPS to get some kind of curriculum to where the opportunity for kids to see real stars can be a huge game changer for turning lives around. And I think that's really cool.
Yep. So the one thing that we haven't really talked about, and I'll just touch upon it here, is that our staff that we have, our volunteer staff, our executive team, our advisory board, they're a virtual who's who in the world of academia and in the business world here in and around Lincoln, Nebraska. And they're part of our team. And it's just incredible what they bring to the table. And this gentleman right here to my left here, and he's doesn't like to toot his own horn too much, but I'll tell you what, he is the heart and soul of our education and what happens at the observatory. Because whether you're an academic, you are a young four-year-old kid, or you're a person that just has a casual interest, he knows how to relate. And then really, we talk about bringing the night sky down to earth in a method and a language that those individuals will learn from, understand, and bring back to their home.
Well, that's a heck of a compliment. And, you know, I just realized, but that's true, because you do come in here and you explain it. And trust me, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. And every time I learn something from you and we're able to break it down. But, you know, one of the things I've never asked you, and I know we'll talk about your shows, I've never asked you where you got your passion for the stars and education. And, you know, where did that come from?
You know, we might have mentioned it years ago when we were first on.
Maybe.
Matt and I had, strangely enough, kind of a similar experience. And the funny thing is, it's an experience that we've run into a number of times. And I was willed a telescope given to me by my father and my grandfather. And they had passed away. I opened up the box. Didn't know anything about it. Asked my mom and my stepfather to.
You were young though.
To help me, I was very young.
Okay.
To help me set up the telescope, and they said no, and so I said okay, I guess I'll do it myself. So I set up this telescope out on the deck, which is not a great place to set up a telescope, but I didn't know any better. I set up the telescope, kind of learned what I was doing by myself. Saw a single star. I was in Omaha and Millard. Skies weren't great. I saw one single star. Pointed the telescope at that single star, and that star was actually the planet Saturn. And through that little tiny telescope, little 60 millimeter Sears refractor telescope that was already very old at that time, I could see the rings of Saturn. And the astronomy bug bit me really hard that night.
Wow.
And it stuck with me the rest of my years. I was kind of an introvert, and at school, one of the things that we had to talk about, this wasn't astronomy, but it helped me kind of in my performance game. They wanted us to give a talk on a particular subject, and I built an engine model, and I knew the thing inside and out. And that's when I discovered the secret of talking in front of a group.
Mm-hmm.
Was just knowing what you're talking about. and I just went off and I talked about this thing in and out. And after that, I realized, you know, this isn't something to be afraid of. This is something to embrace.
Yeah.
To be able to teach and, of course, to learn along the way. And since that time, I've been educating since that very moment. I actually went to the University of Nebraska at Kearney. It was Kearney State College at that time.
Right.
And before I had went into the department, I'd already built a number of lasers and some other electronics. And I went into the physics department and knocked on the door of the head of the physics department. And I just said, yeah, I just want to let you know that I'm here. And he goes, okay. and I brought some of my lasers, brought some of my electronics, and the
said, you can be the department head.
two weeks later, they're having me do science demonstrations.
Wow.
And I became a lecture demonstration specialist for the department as a freshman.
Wow.
And then became the planetarium director, kind of a student planetarium director and a student observatory director.
Wow. That's incredible. We have not got that much detail.
Yeah.
I would remember it, because it's a phenomenal story. And then on to, you know, obviously And you're a lifelong learner, you can tell. I mean, you're just not like teaching and, well, this is what I was taught. I mean, the fact that you get so excited when we bring up, you know, Hubble or anything out there, I mean, it just continues to go on. And so,
teaching at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln for the last 8 years, I have just recently left the university, but teaching there for the last 8 years, the thing about science and the thing about astronomy is that it is always changing.
Yeah.
And the moment you say one thing, you learn that it's that last week they discovered something else or something different. So you really have to be on your game and always kind of be open-minded and be able to scour that information out there. So, and that was one thing that was always very important to me, is to give the most up-to-date information to my students.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And this is just another extension, like we've been saying. Let me go back real quick to Phoebe. Phoebe, any events coming up or anything for Chariots for Hope going on? Just continuing to take, I guess, you know, I don't want to say service calls, but stories or any data points that you'd like to put out?
Well, sure. We do have our biggest event of the year, and that's going to be at Peter's Place, which is Peter Fink's Muscle Car Museum. And that is going to be the 18th of May.
Okay.
And that's, you can go to our chariots4hope.org website and you can find all that information.
And you just signed yourself up for coming back on closer to that so we can continue to get the word out, because that just sounds pretty cool. Muscle cars, giving, good Nebraskans giving back and helping people that need help.
Yeah, there's just a little teaser, but you'll be able to find out more. You asked about numbers, so I'll just kind of spew out a couple here. Over 800 people served through one of our programs and services last year. Over 100 cars donated from our community donors.
Wow.
Can't do this without our donors. We've helped 60 people secure and maintain employment by providing them with a reliable vehicle. And also, there's been about 600 gospel seeds planted through our programs.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Chariots for Hope, the number four, folks, for hope.org. You can check them out, and we'll make sure to have you back as we get closer to May 18th, and we'll continue to talk and see if we can get people out there. And I appreciate you coming in and educating us all on what's out there, because you know what? A lot of people don't know. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. You know, Matt, what about the observatory? We've hit a couple of dates. We've got, you know, I'm calling it How to Build Your Telescope.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've got
how to use your telescope.
Excuse me. Yeah. How to use your telescope. Yeah. We've got a roadmap that I will never forget to see the Neanderthal comet, the green comet, I'm going to call it. What else is going on? You start in March. Well, kind of February.
Well, you know, back up just a little bit here. We're breaking ground on our new multi-purpose center here.
Okay.
Middle to end of February, kind of depends upon the weather. Our goal, our builder would like to have it ready to go May 4th. And of course, May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. We had to do that, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. So he's a Star Wars nut. He really, he's bought into the vision, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. And this project simply would not happen had it not been for Stonebrook Exteriors, Blue Core Construction. They have personally invested two-thirds of the cost of this project.
Wow.
Just absolutely incredible. And that's why it makes it much easier on the back end, you know, to raise additional funds, which, by the way, you know, as we're growing, we're going to need the help from the community. And so you can go to branchedoakobservatory.com, right on the homepage there. There's a tab on how you can help, and it gives a list of different ways, including financial contributions. So gifts, big or small, it really doesn't make any difference. We really need to have your support, because as we continue to grow, more offerings. We're going to be hiring staff and providing what we call transformational educational experiences. You know, just really quick about what Michael said, I had a similar experience, got a Montgomery Ward's telescope. It was in December, and went outside, froze my tail off, saw this one object in the sky, turns out to be Saturn. And it was amazing all the way through, you know, through college. And then, of course, cars and girls got in the way and got married. And that kind of took a back seat.
I love how you just fit that in there.
Michael and I, we did overnights together at the observatory. I was a facility manager
at
there.
At the SAC Museum.
And he set one up telescope, says, "Hey, Matt, come on over here. And had this big 10-inch Schmidt Cassegrain up there. And he said, take a look at that. And I looked at that, and it was Saturn. And it just, all those memories come flooding right back there. And then I think that was our real connection at that point. And, ever since then, we were going to build an observatory and all that at the museum. That didn't happen. But we never lost that passion. And then when this opportunity became available 9 years ago, it was started. And 8 years ago, it really got established. And so we're just absolutely blown away with what has happened the last 9 years here at the Branch Stoke Observatory.
That's probably the most amazing thing, is that we get to actually provide that moment of wonder for hundreds and hundreds of people. Young kids get to look through that telescope and see Saturn, see Jupiter, see these objects for the very first time. And we get to see that wonder. We get to see that hit them at a very, very deep level.
I love it. Folks, there's not going to be a Drive Time Lincoln tomorrow, just so you know. We got Husker basketball, but for everybody in the audience, I want you to answer this question when we come back. Star Wars, Star Trek, or Interstellar? All right. 1400-993-KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTF with Commander Jack Riggins on 1400-993-KLIN.
All right, folks, we're finishing up here. We've got about 1 minute. Phoebe, we did have the classic mistake on Drive Time Lincoln. It is May 19th.
Classic mistake, live radio, yes. It is Feel the Freedom is the event, and it's May 19th.
May 19th. We'll have you back on, and we'll make sure everybody gets the right date. But it's May 19th for the Feel the Freedom event. Matt, Mike, Phoebe, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Jackson.
We are going to answer. We've got the answers to what's the best star movie out there. We'll talk about that on Wednesday when we come back on Drive Time Lincoln, because there is no show tomorrow due to Husker basketball. So I will see everybody Wednesday, 1400-993-KLIN.
From the Momo Pizzeria and Ristorante Studio.